I sent Gabby. So what we have for you guys today, the revised MOU for COVID-19. I think we definitely got path forward on that. Gabby just shared it here in chat. If you guys want to pull it up, and I can walk you through it as well. Do you guys have it?
I do.
Well, so whenever you're ready, let me know.
I have it, Mike. You have it? Can you have it?
I'm trying to pull it up right now. I'm good.
Mike, you good? All right, he's on mute, but he said yes. Okay. You read lips.
Okay. I think that's all. Okay, so this is a clean copy. It's kind of hard when you start redlining proposals back and forth, but I'll talk you through the changes of things that we've accepted and different small elements. We actually pared it down significantly based on the language that you guys brought in. Here, numbers 1 and 2 are the same. These are unchanged from the previous MOU. In number 3, you all had proposed language that's here at the start that says faculty shall be provided the option of excluding fall 2020 semester course evaluations for use in preparing these annual evaluations. And then you had proposed language that said that faculty need to include additional exemplars of additional documents relevant to their teaching. Dan, you mentioned specifically about accreditation issues if they choose not to include those teaching evaluations. We've amended that slightly just to have a specific number. So now it says if faculty decide to exclude teaching evaluations, they should include at least one additional teaching exemplar of evidence of teaching effectiveness relevant to the fall 2020 semester, right? That language about additional teaching exemplars, that mirrors language that's already in the CBA, but it ties it specifically to that fall 2020. So we figured it's good to have a specific number on there. Rather, so faculty don't say, well, how many do I, you know, what exactly do I have to include? So we've included that in four, we've picked up your language that says, faculty members should document the effects of COVID-19 health emergency. So that's language of yours that you guys proposed is a more broader expansion of that. What we have added is this one sentence that says, the university shall consider these documented impacts when evaluating faculty. I think it was potentially discussed at our meeting last time that was implicit in the statement that's saying that faculty should document their effects. But we want to make sure that that's explicit, saying that these would be considered. Mike, you said last time that the university's concern was that the language in the previous MOU said these shall not affect the faculty members' evaluations, right? And so there, that definitive hard line, I think, was hard. You said was hard to was hard in its application for evaluators. Here, this is a softer line. It just says that they'll consider those as they evaluate. So we've added that one line in. 5 is unchanged. That's language that existed previously. 6 is the same thing. We've picked up your language about their documenting mandatory closings, and then we've just added that same sentence. The university shall consider these documented impacts when evaluating faculty. And then what are currently numbered 7 and 8, we've just picked up that language as you guys have proposed it, which is there's not an additional year of tenure clock extension. However, that deadline to utilize that 1 year has been extended, right? So that's verbatim picked up. The other change that we made, we were going back and forth last time talking about the relationship of the a state of emergency and how that relates to declared state of emergency and its extension and how that relates to self-reporting. We've actually just removed all of that language out of this MOU because it was already we already have the language that was ratified in the previous MOU that's still active. So we figured the best thing to do in this one is just to actually remove all of that language out since it was addressed previously. So that's our counter proposal. Hopefully, I mean, it's a pretty narrow path forward for getting this one wrapped up.
All right, thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate it. I don't have any questions, but Dan, Kim might have questions. Does anybody have anything they'd like to ask of Jonathan?
No,
I don't at this time. Have any
questions. Okay.
Good. It's pretty straightforward. And we'll take a look at it, Jonathan, and get back as soon as we possibly can.
Okay. This is the only document that we have today, but you know, we can talk about some of the other elements if you guys would like, or I don't know if you guys have documents that you wanted to deliver to us.
I don't know. What do you think, Dan? Maybe it would be better if the larger team was in attendance to talk about some of the other things.
Yeah, because I think then we'll have to try to remember and repeat. So I don't have anything else from our side. I think this is helpful. And I think us trying to just kind of get this finalized will help us focus on the other pieces in the bargaining agreement. So.
Okay. What about, so a couple questions I have about the standard for if hypothetically this were something that you all were agreed with, would we need how are you Mike? You probably can answer. How are you doing signatures over Zoom?
I'm mute.
There's a couple ways we can go about doing that. One thing we can do is DocuSign, and so we can sign it virtually. That's what we do at FSU right now. Or we can do, you know, the old-fashioned way where we're transmitting the documents back and forth and just signing them in person and transmitting them. Either way.
Okay. And you know, it's whatever your guys' preferences are on what would be required for bargaining notice, right? If there's something like, if you felt like you were able to sign this, if we need to have a specific notice for that, or if you can send it as a signature with DocuSign or something like that, you know, we're amenable to whatever your guys' position is on that.
Okay, good.
A couple questions or things that I could relate to you guys, or a question that I had. You know, we talked last time about the frequently asked question document related to the phased retirement that you guys had submitted. You know, we had talked about that at session as that this is not, the document itself is not subject to collective bargaining or ratification, right? It's just a frequently asked question document. We've provided feedback on that to the university. We haven't heard anything back on that. I don't know if the university's preference is to discuss that in collective bargaining or to respond to that, but I can, we sent feedback on that as well.
We haven't, as a group, discussed that FAQ yet. I had heard that you did respond to them in a brief phone call, but I did not get details. And so we may have more after we meet together. We haven't met yet. So I think that's the main thing.
Okay. I think really the only element that came to attention is that the university has interpreted half-time employment as a faculty member being required to teach two classes, right? That half-time is a 0.5 teaching FTE, right? And so one of the things that we had said, if a faculty member's primary role is teaching, right? If they're a tenure track faculty member who teaches three classes and receives the equivalent of a course release to do their research, or they're a faculty member who's an instructor and teaches four classes with no research obligation, we're perfectly fine with that interpretation that halftime can only be a component of teaching, right? As long as that faculty member's primary field is teaching. What we had mentioned in there was that we think there needs to be more flexibility in that FAQ language, recognizing that there's groups like library faculty who are hourly employees, are not primarily teaching faculty. And then there may be some faculty who are research associates who don't have a teaching component in their degree or in their work assignment. So we're perfectly fine with the way that the university has interpreted to apply that. We just think the FAQ needs some more language recognizing that there's a range of assignments at the university that may create variations. So that's why I just wanted to articulate that to you guys as you're thinking about those things.
Was that already in the feedback that you had provided to them, or is that in addition to
it? It correlates with the feedback that we have provided in the document itself. I think that it's a further explanation of that feedback that may be helpful that I wanted to relay today.
More of a clarification, is what you're saying? Yeah. Clarification. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The other question, the only thing that we're reviewing the furlough language and that you all proposed. And, you know, we had a couple of thoughts. Mike, I wanted to ask you about that. Would you feel comfortable just answer some clarifications about the furlough language?
Sure.
Okay, so you know, glad to negotiate. We think it's good to negotiate the furlough language. We're glad that the university has brought that into bargaining. A couple of elements that are in our attention that we're kind of reviewing and looking at is, first of all, just the way that a furlough is understood is, you know, we talk about furloughs and layoff as similar, and there are elements of that are similar, but they're also very different in other ways, right? You know, layoffs can be implemented either for explicitly financial reasons, like financial exigency of some kind, right? But layoffs can also be implemented on a performance basis, right? So that's why we have that language in there that, you know, different takes it down to an individual unit, right? That the university may feel the need to implement layoffs very narrowly based on the specific performance of some unit of some kind. Furloughs, our philosophy, we see those as a little bit differently. That a furlough is by definition temporary, right? Like these are faculty that they're bringing back to the university. It's not a layoff, right? So our view on that is because it's should be understood exclusively as an economic consideration. And as such, it should be as inclusive as possible, right? When we sent the language out to faculty, their concern is that the way the language is written now is that it would implement furloughs on like a departmental basis, right? Let's say the university is short $1 million and they say, well, we need to implement furloughs, that could be implemented in a targeted way, right? That affects one group or unit disproportionately to another, right? So that was one of the primary concerns we had, was that how the way that furloughs could be, you know, targeted narrowly. It's funny, the way that faculty respond is that, you know, you can, faculty in the humanities say, well, wait a minute, what if the university is just going to target just humanities faculty, right, and not College of Business faculty, right? And the College of Business faculty responds, well, wait a minute, what if they're just going to target the highest earners, you know, and not, you know, it's triggering in different ways, right? So that was one of our elements of attention to that language. You know, we also wanted to make sure that there was an established, a clear line of financial exigency that necessitates implementing furloughs, right? You know, that's, you know, we're still going over this language and looking it over closely, but to make sure that that there's some reassurance for faculty that they're, you know, the university has to demonstrate a certain necessity in order to implement furloughs, right, as well. So those were the main things that we were looking at. A lot of the implementation or procedural elements, you know, I think are going to kind of be okay with us, but we're still reviewing it.
Yeah, I think those were both good points. I think primarily you're right, furlough is different from a layoff in that the intent of a layoff is that a position is going to go away and never come back. And that could be for a financial reason or other reasons. Like I know that years ago, Florida International University laid off its industrial engineering department because industrial engineering has been kind of overwhelmed by other types of engineering. They do, you know, like robotics and stuff like that. So industrial engineering, as it traditionally was maintained, had no interest. So that was a financial, but you couldn't furlough the industrial engineering department off because you were doing it for other financial reasons. I do notice in our language that we try to capture that it has to be a significant budget reduction, significant operating budget deficit, and then it says, or that work for an employee is temporarily unavailable. And I think that's been kind of picked up because what happened, I think, in some institutions that over this past year is there was no work to be performed by a certain class of employees, and they were just collecting their paycheck. And so, for example, the people that were responsible for maintaining the, let's say, food service in a dormitory, the dormitory was closed. So they were just paying people not to work. But that's something we can talk about.
You know, I think that's a great point. I would imagine that in most of those scenarios, those were not in-unit faculty, right? You know, and so, so absolutely, that's something that, you know, and I think that there's would certainly be a potential for things like you're articulating, Mike, that the university to implement more targeted furloughs outside of in-unit faculty, right? You know, that wouldn't be kind of covered by this language. You know, one of the things right now, the way the language is written, it intersperses the language of layoff and furlough. So what we were, I think, looking at is maybe having the language from furlough, even though it may mirror a lot of the language in the layoff, written separately. So we don't try and navigate having that language overlapping, even though there's kind of separate entities.
But, I see that point, yeah.
So we wanted to articulate just some of that because I don't know what our next session is, so things you might want to think about or you know.
We appreciate it.
That's everything that we have. Unless there's any questions that I can help answer for you guys.
Dan, Kim, any questions?
I don't have any questions. I do have one for Mike. I just wanted to make sure he received an email with some dates in it because we had circulated with our group, and I think he should have gotten an email with some dates sometime last week. I just want to make sure it's on your radar.
Thanks, Dan. I'll go look that up right now.
Okay. And if not, just reply and we'll get them to you.
Okay, thanks.
And I don't have anything additional either. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Kim.
All right, everyone. Have a great day. And whatever team you like tonight, I hope they win.
I'm just hoping that my kids will let me watch the game. I can't even, you know. They call everything that's not cartoons, they call news. So they're like, don't watch news.
Real world stuff is terrible. Yeah.
Great. All right. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks.